promises of greater reliability and security. Those are among the reasons agencies are moving IT systems to commercial cloud providers. But the Government Accountability Office says agencies need to get those promises in writing. GAO looked at 21 large cloud services contracts across cabinet-level departments and found only 7 met all of the industry best practices for service-level agreements. David Powner is GAO's director for IT management issues. He talked with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu about how GAO selected those best practices and why agencies ought to be following them.
We looked at various criteria that was out there, not only from the federal government, but also from the private sector. So we looked at organizations, you know, like your Gartners and MITRES, but also too, you know, NIST has criteria out there, as well as OMB with their CIO council. So what we did is we just looked at all that collectively and then looked at commonalities across those groups and talked to experts, you know, out there and settled on these 10. And really what we wanted to do is highlight, you know, there were some broad ones looking at roles and responsibilities, and then you got into detailed performance things like, you know, how many users do you expect at maximum capacity and response times, and then pretty heavy in the security area since, you know, there's a reluctance sometimes to go to the cloud because, you know, folks are concerned about not controlling security, but you can actually specify, you know, how you protect the data, how you're notified of a breach, and those types of things. So that's how we selected it, those best practices. And there's, you know, we came up with these 10 high-level ones, and there's a lot of details behind, too, when you really look at those 10, but we figured these were the core ones that were needed.
Yeah, and I think it's important to point out that these 10 are really nowhere in federal law or federal policy. So in some sense, this was kind of like a no-notice audit for agencies. But nonetheless, they were already doing a lot of these things in their contracts.
Yeah, and the one thing that I think that is encouraging, when you look at the guidance that OMB and the CIO Council has collectively, about 7 of those 10 are actually included in OMB guidance. So, you know, we had a recommendation to OMB to beef up their guidance, but it wasn't one of these recommendations, you know, where we saw major holes. We saw 3 of the 10 missing. So really, when you step back and look at this, it was almost like a tweak to OMB's guidance that's out there. So that was very encouraging. I mean, OMB's guidance was matched up fairly well when you looked at the best practices.
Yeah, and out of the 21 contracts that you looked at, really there were only 7 that met all 10. Out of the ones, best practices that were really not followed, were there ones that were most common across agencies?
Yeah, you know, what? One of the things that we found really tied to your previous question, too, is some of those areas that weren't in OMB's guidance, those weren't covered more so than others. In fact, one of the reasons, you know, when we asked why they weren't following it, you know, one of the common themes was, you know, we don't have guidance that's as complete as what you're proposing here. So that's fair, right? And then there were some other suggestions that, you know, there were support contractors that were doing these things. But when we tried to find supporting documentation, we didn't see that. Really, the bottom line on a lot of this is we do need the agencies to be a little more rigorous in these contracting practices. But I think the important point is, you know, when you mentioned that 7 met all 10 of the 21 contracts we looked at, you know, 20 of the 21 contracts met at least 5 right. of the best practices. And we have a great table in the report that kind of lays out for the 21 contracts how many of the best practices were met. So I think that's an important message. This is, you know, it was really a pretty positive message. I think there was one VA contract that was lacking significantly. But other than that, 20 of the 21 met at least 5 of the practices.
Another kind of theme that I noticed, and I think this was particularly in DoD, was that the SLAs that were in place kind of across the board had to do with security. And I wonder, given all the attention that's been paid to the FedRAMP process, if there's kind of a misperception out there that once your cloud vendor has made it through FedRAMP, then you're good, even though FedRAMP doesn't really address availability or uptime or those kinds of things.
That's a great question. In fact, you know, with the FedRAMP process, I mean, there's a lot that's baked in when the various contractors get their certification and authority to operate within the government, right? But I do think there still is sound contracting practices to ensure that some of these practices are in there, whether you have using a FedRAMP vendor or not. If you're really concerned, even if some of the security things, I mean, if you're really concerned about, you know, authentication of users or some of the privacy rights or how the data is protected or how quickly you're notified of breaches and those types of things, best practice really is to specify those in the contract, whether you're going with that FedRAMP vendor or not.
Why is it necessary, in your view, to do an SLA for security on top of FedRAMP? Theoretically, once a vendor has made it through FedRAMP, they should be pretty secure, right?
They should be. They should be. But I think, if that's a concern of yours, one of the things, we've done multiple reports now in this cloud area, and the common theme is, we want to control our data or we want to control our infrastructure, and we're still concerned about security. And, it's just a way to be reassured of that, going forward. The other thing is there's a key SLA in here, too, about access to data and networks and even auditing, where agencies can write into their contracts that they could actually have, there can be spot audits on some of these vendors and the like if they're concerned. So there's a lot you can do to really double check to make sure that you're getting the service you want, that's secure to the extent you want, and those types of things. And again, if you want to just go with the FedRAMP approach, that's fine. But if you want to put more specifics in there and really ensure yourself this is done and even have some of the checks and balances, that's really what this report is about. And those clearly were some of the best practices out there.
Reading between the lines a little bit, and I'm certainly paraphrasing the report here, but I think some agencies, and HHS in particular, went into these contracts without putting some of the SLAs in place because their feeling was, look, this product is reliable. That's why we're buying it in the first place. So it wouldn't occur to us to get a promise in writing. Is that a fair characterization of some of the things that you came across?
Yeah, that's fair. And I think, whenever this goes back to even before the cloud days, though, if you look at, when you provision a service, if you want to ensure that you have the right performance in place, the right security, the right performance, that this is, best practices in contracting, and a lot of these things were even followed before, you look at the when the cloud, when everything got started with the cloud, with going back to 2010 with OMB's initial policy on their cloud first policy. So, yeah, that's fair that some agencies are saying that, but I think if you're provisioning a service, it's important to specify, some of those performance requirements that you want met.
Dave, these are fundamentally commercial products, right, that these companies are selling to a lot of non-government customers, too. If agencies insist on all 10 of these SLA features that you recommend, I mean, do they run the risk of excluding some competition because those things are not things that the CSPs include in their standard commercial contracts, if that question makes sense?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I think sometimes, when you look at the commercial products and you look at the type of cloud service that we're providing, so some of the commercial products, you would hope the majority of these things are already in most of these, right? Very secure. You're going to ensure that it's available and response times real quick and those types of things, especially when you get into things like web portals and email services and those things. Vendors should be meeting these best practices. I think the issue, too, gets into when you go to some of the private clouds because it's, you do have commercial products, but then we're entering the world of some of these private clouds, too, where we're contracting, not necessarily that it's a commercial product to be used by multiple agencies, but sometimes just for a single agency.
Yeah, for a single purpose. Just to wrap us up, this may be beyond the scope of your report, but in the contracts that you looked at, how did the companies actually perform? I mean, in other words, where there was a failure, for lack of a better word, to include some of these SLA best practices in the contracts, did it make a meaningful difference in performance?
We looked at the contract vehicle itself and not to the extent that it actually, we followed through to ensure that it was actually being done.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if there was, if they specified like their disaster recovery procedures and continuity of operations and that type of thing, whether it was executed and how quickly things were brought up and that type of thing. So we didn't get to that level. But again, I think, that's another area that you really want to stress, the importance of specifying how quick you need the data available. I mean, some of these things, when you look at software as a service with email and websites, but if your infrastructure as a service, so if we have data center consolidation efforts and we really need, the infrastructure as a service with a high availability and to recover during disasters quickly, that's really where some of those become more important. You really need to look at whether it's infrastructure as a service or software as a service. And, it's one of those it depends type stories.
David Powner, GAO's Director for IT Management Issues, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu. Read the report and share this interview with colleagues, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive, and click Share with Friends.